Amen. What a blessing. And it is a blessing to be a child of the King. I'll tell you, I'm so thankful that I'm saved. And I appreciate the Lord saving me when I was 17 years old. And having been able to live for Him, I know I failed Him in my life. But having been able to live for Him these years has been such a blessing. And I know that folks can get saved and the latter part of their life, and I'm grateful that they do, but it's such a blessing to know that to see people saved while they're young and can live their life and give their life to the Lord. That is such a blessing. Let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3. I want to thank the pastor again for having me in today, and I hope it's been a help to y'all, the service this morning. I hope tonight will be a blessing. And y'all have already been a blessing to me. I appreciate how y'all have made me feel welcome. And appreciate the basket for my wife. And appreciate y'all buying a few of my books. And I do hope they'll be a blessing. I do covet your prayers. Pray for us as we try to carry out the Lord's will for our life. If you would stand with me for a moment. Ephesians chapter number 3. And I want to look beginning with verse number 13. Paul says, "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause," now I want you to listen to this prayer and this prayer request that Paul has for these saints at Ephesus. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Thank you for standing. Reverence to the reading of the good word of God. In this prayer of the Apostle Paul from verses number 14 down through verse number 21, there are several things here that speaks to my heart. I heard a man say this in verse number 17, about verse 17. He said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And he said to some, Christ is present. Listen to this. To some, Christ is present. In other words, we know He lives within us. To some, Christ is prominent. He's not only present, but He becomes prominent in our lives. But then to some, He is preeminent. And that's where it ought to be. And you may be here and you may be contented with the fact that you know that He is present. You may be here tonight and you want to think that He is prominent in your life. But I hope we could all leave knowing that He is preeminent, that He has first place in our life. In verse number 17, we see what I refer to as the presence of the Savior, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And then I see from verse 17 through verse 19, and this is just a little outline running. I'm not using it tonight, but I'm showing it to you. We see the presence of the Savior in verse 17. We see what I refer to as the possibility of the saints in verses 17 through 19. What are those possibilities? That ye being rooted and grounded in love. That's what God wants us to be. May be able to comprehend. Do we really understand it? Do we really comprehend? It is a possibility. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Look at the possibility. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Look at the possibility that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. It's sure going to be sad for us to go to the judgment seat of Christ. And I believe at that time we may realize all the possibilities that were for us and we did not get it. We did not reach it. We did not achieve it. I believe that we'll realize what could have been if we'd only done our part. Amen. Done our part. So there's a lot of possibilities. In verse number 20, I see the power of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, and above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And then in verse 21, we see the praise that surely belongs to God. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. One, I love the book of Ephesians. It is a very meaty, deep book, and I thank God for it. I'm interested, though, in verse number 20, and I'll be preaching from the thought that we find here, where he said, now unto him that is able. Now I know that every preacher probably has used this thought. It's so easy and simple to use. But I want to preach on that those words tonight, that God is able. And that sounds so simple, and it is. And if you hear me preach very much, you'll find out that I am a simple preacher. I may take truths that are deep, but I'll do my best to make them and present them. As my mentor used to say, he said, I want to put the cookie jar on the bottom shelf so the children can get to it. Amen? Yeah. And that's what we got. That's what we need to do in our preaching, yes, is make it just as simple as we can. And you'll find that that's how I preach. And I want folk to get a hold of these truths. But I'm preaching on God is able. Can I say that when we look in the Word of God, we have a record of His ability? It begins with Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I heard one fellow say that if we can believe Genesis 1:1, then we will have no problem with the rest of the Bible. Whether it's the whale swallowing Jonah, I'm like the little boy that told his teacher. She said, school teacher said, son, do you really believe that? Yes, ma'am. And if the Bible said that Jonah swallowed the whale, I would believe that. Amen. Whatever the Bible says, that's what I want to believe, don't you? So we have a record throughout this Bible of God's ability. Whether it was parting the Red Sea, whether it was drying up the River Jordan, whether it was clothing and feeding the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness. We're talking about 2 to 3 million people, God feeding them daily, their shoes never wearing out. God is able, amen. He's able to provide the table in the wilderness. And you can come all the way through the Bible with all the miracles and everything. And so we have a record of God's ability. But then as a believer, listen carefully, it's one thing to have the record of God's ability, but it's another thing to recognize God's ability. It's in the Bible, Brother Harrison, it's in the Bible, but do I recognize it? Am I getting a hold of it? But what I want to deal with tonight is how that we need to rest in the ability of God. How that we need to rest We have the record of his ability. We ought to recognize his ability, but I want to say that we ought to rest in his ability. We ought to get to the place in our life where we can pillow our head of a night and rest in the fact that God, as I said this morning, that God is in charge, amen, that we're in his hands, and he's got some pretty big hands, amen. And so I want to deal with this tonight, and I want to do, I go back to my mentor again, and Brother Sam Jones. My wife and I got married. I was 19. We were too young, but we married. You know, I was 19. She was 17. Young people don't do as I do as we say, okay? Wait a little longer. But anyway, we started going to a Bible study. We joined she lived in North Carolina, and I lived in Georgia. And so I married her, brought her to Georgia, and so I got saved in the church she was going to. I got saved of seeing her. I was lost, and God saved me. Well, then when we got married, I brought her to Georgia, and so we went to this church, and the Lord led us there, and we didn't go anywhere else. We joined there, and one of the deacons in the church invited us to a little Bible study that was held on Monday night in Dahlonega in Ruby's Beauty Shop. And there was about 15 of us, usually 15 to 18, that would meet on a Monday night. And my wife and I went for about 12 years until I actually moved, and I started moved to the church that I ended up at for 28 years, and so we kind of moved out of the area. But it went about 12, 13 years, and it was, and I got Bible college later as I was teaching. But anyway, it was just like Bible college for me, because this man was. He was a scholar in his own right, a self-taught scholar. Had a personal library of about 5,000 volumes, and he had taught himself Greek, and he was just a scholar, and he was an expositional preacher. He would just sit down in the Bible, take a verse and plow through it, a chapter, a book, and just go through it. And he taught me that. He taught me how to study and how to plow and how to get in the Bible. But I never will forget what he said. He said one good way that he likes to study, he said he likes to take his Strong's Concordance, and he likes to find a word that he's interested in, and then he'll look in every place in the Bible that word's found, if he's searching it out. He'll look in every place. He said you can take any word in the Bible, any subject, use that concordance, and go through your Bible, look at every verse, and he said, when you get done, you have found everything that God says on that subject. And that's so simple, but it is profound. And so in my ministry, God used that little simple truth to help me study the Bible. And so all I'm going to do tonight is just, we're going to look at a few places where this word able is used, and I want to just pull it together for this simple little message on God is able. I want you to turn with me, and we're going to begin, and follow me in your Bible. We're going to begin in the book of Hebrews in chapter number 7. And I want to say first of all tonight that God is able to save. Amen. I'm telling you, this is simple, but you just hang with me. Somebody said, if it's new, it's not true. And if it's true, it's not new. So I'm not going to tell you something you don't know. It's going to be something you know. In Hebrews 7, look what he said. He's comparing Jesus to the priest of the Old Testament, and he's talking about how that they died, but he ever lives. And look what the Bible said in verse number 23. And they, that is the Old Testament priest, were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. In other words, their priest's work stopped because they died. But this man, because he continueth ever, in other words, because Jesus got up out of the grave, amen, and ever lives, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able, there's my word, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. that Old Testament priest died and his ministry ended. Or if he reached 50 years old, his ministry ended with that, from 30 to 50. But Jesus, he died on the cross, shed his blood for you and I. He was the sacrifice. He was the priest making the sacrifice, and he was the altar or the place of sacrifice. But when he went into that tomb and then came out on the third day, he continually lives. And today, even in 2022, he is alive to appropriate the effects of his death on the cross. The night that I got saved, it was Jesus, the Savior, appropriating the work of the cross on my behalf, amen. And so he ever lives, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, amen. That word uttermost means completely and eternally, amen. As somebody has said, they didn't misquote it, but they kindly applied it. He's able to save to the guttermost, amen. Not only to the uttermost, but to the guttermost. I'm glad he still saves. Last month, I'm in a different church almost every week, whether it's preaching a Sunday or a week's meeting, just somewhere every week. And I don't see a whole lot of people saved. I scratch my head and I wonder when I hear about these guys that are just, you know, everywhere they go, they got a whole house full of folk getting saved. I worry about that, amen. I just don't see that many people saved. But last month in October, I was in a little church in Hiawassee, Georgia, and thank God there was a 15-year-old boy got saved in the service. And I say, praise God, he still saves sinners, amen. In September, I was up near Murphy, North Carolina, preaching, and on a Monday night, we just a small church, and there was a pastor and his wife visiting, and there was a lady that has been visiting his church. And so when he made the announcement to invite his church to come over to this church, that lady that had been visiting his church came. And so she was there on Monday night, the pastor and his wife, just a small church. And she was probably about 60 years old, something like that, and just been to his church a few times. And so I preached. I had good liberty. God spoke to hearts. There was a few came for prayer. The service ended. The pastor had already gone out on the porch and was talking. I was speaking to two or three people standing here. And the next thing I knew, the pastor that was visiting and his wife, they were coming down the aisle with that lady that was visiting. And tears were running down her cheeks. And they come up and said, this dear sister says she needs to be saved. Amen. And I'm glad, what are you saying? I'm glad that he's able to save to the uttermost, amen. Completely and eternally, amen. Again, I don't see many people saved, but I just, hey friend, if it's just one every now and then, it's worth every mile we travel. It's worth every message preached. It's worth every prayer prayed. Because there was a time when that one that got saved in the revival was this preacher, amen, saved on a Sunday night. Thank God he is able to save. He's able to save those that you and I may think are unsavable. He's able to save those that we may have given up on. He's able to save those that may not seem interested, amen. Aren't you glad that because he lives, amen, he can save. He's able to save, amen, able to save. He saved the maniac of Gadara. He saved Mary Magdalene. He saved the Apostle Paul, amen, that considered himself to be the chiefest of sinners. But thank God, the greatest miracle, I think, was when he saved me, amen. So I know that you know he is able to save tonight, amen. And we ought to preach with an expectation that God's going to trouble hearts and bring somebody to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Jude. Let's go to the right. Go over to the book of Jude. And when God saves, what does he do? I want to say that I think he's able to secure those that he saves. Amen. Just a little ABC message tonight in Jude, verse number 24. I love it. Look what he said. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Oh, preacher, do you mean here in 2022 when it seems like apostasy is set in? When it seems like people have lost? I've never seen nothing like it. I've never seen, this world's gone crazy. People have lost their mind. Black is white and white is black and up is down and down is up. People don't know what bathroom to go to. People don't know what they are. I was filling out some papers at the doctor's office here just a couple of months ago, having to redo some paperwork. And man, there was a list of genders. I thought it's male and female, amen. It still is, by the way. But they were asking, what are you? And had all these different options. I'm telling you, it's gone crazy out here. And people may think, well, how in the world can you live for God? You can't, but he can, amen. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, praise God, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. You see, the book of Jude is one of those books that deal with apostasy. All of the seconds in the New Testament deal with apostasy. 2 Thessalonians, 2 Timothy, 2 Peter, and the book of Jude all deal with apostasy. And we're living it. We're seeing it. We're here in the last days. Our brother brought it out so good this morning in Sunday school. We're in these last times. We're in these last days. I believe we're going to hear the sound of the trumpet before long, thank God. I'm looking for it. I'm listening for it. Hey, friend, I don't care what Russia does. I know what they're going to do during the tribulation period, but I'm not waiting on Russia to do anything. I'm listening for the shout, amen, and the trumpet, amen. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm not trying to figure out who he is. He ain't going to be revealed until you and I are out of here, amen. But listen, in these days, you and I can live right, amen. God is able to secure us, to keep us from falling, amen. We have a responsibility in that. I understand that. I know that. But thank God he is able. If you look in the book of Romans, I think y'all maybe might have been studying Romans. If you go to the book of Romans, you'll find that chapters number 3, 4, and 5 deal with our salvation. Chapters number 6, 7, and 8 deal with our sanctification. And in chapter number 8, I find out, dear friend, I find out that because the Holy Ghost lives within me, he is able to keep the law of God. Nobody is justified by the law, but I've got the lawgiver living in me, and I can't live it, and I can't do it, but his power, he infuses me. He reproduces what is Christianity? It is nothing more, nothing less than the Spirit of God reproducing the life of Christ in your life. And he does it through the knowledge of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, friend, come hell or high water, you can live right through the power of the Holy Ghost and through the Word of God. Amen. Stirs me up. Hope it does you. Go with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. Y'all know where I'm going. This is easy preaching tonight. Simple, but this is what the Lord put in my heart. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. The Bible said this. He's able to save. He's able to secure. And I want to say thirdly, he's able to supply the need. Look what he tells in this, gives us in this promise concerning giving. The pastor and I were talking over lunch, and he was talking about the good missions work that y'all are doing. And I say, thank God for it. All these missionaries y'all support, all the money you're putting into the Lord's work, and y'all have been taught well. And it's this principle right here. Look what he said in verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. We all, maybe, I make a little garden. Not much, but I do. I enjoy it. But what a plant. I really don't expect to get up more than I'm planting. If I plant a row of beans, I'm not looking for 3 rows of beans. If I plant 1 row, I'm going to get 1 row. The law of sowing and reaping. Look what he said in verse 7. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. That word cheerful, we get our word hilarious from it. God loves it when somebody gets happy, amen. You ever heard anybody shout during the offering? Somebody ought to get full of God one day, and when the offering plates are fast, they ought to get so happy, say, praise God, amen. That's what he loves. I'm after verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having, look now, all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. When I pastored, I taught the church, it was this simple truth, and I'm not saying I'm the author of it. I don't know that I hurt anybody, but this is what I taught. It's simply the open hand principle. If I have an open hand to give to the Lord's work, then I have an open hand to receive from God. Is that not right? But if I close my hand to giving to God, I've also closed my hand in receiving from God. As long as I keep my hand open, you know what God's promising to do, brother? God is promising to make sure that I have what I need in order to keep passing it on. But if you ever close that hand, God will dry it up on the other end as well. You hear me tonight? You cannot give God, y'all know that, and if you keep that open hand principle, are willing to give what the Bible declares us to give, when you're willing to give, you'll be able to receive. And this is the promise right here. God is able, amen, to supply our every need. Thank God he does. Look what he said in verse number 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. We mentioned the radio broadcast this morning. I went on the radio in 1984. I was pastoring my first church. I was in my 20s. And I was bivocational. I was doing construction work. And this was in March. And this was March, early March. It'd been a bad winter. I wasn't making much money. I pastored a little church that didn't have much. Stayed there 8 years. My wife was expecting our second child. We didn't have the money to pay for it. Amen. Had a little insurance, but it wasn't going to cover not even a fraction of the cost. Going to have to set the baby up on payments. Amen. Y'all, anybody ever been there? Done that? You're looking at somebody that knows what it's like to be down on the bottom rung of the ladder. Amen. But let me say this. God began to stir my heart about starting a little radio broadcast on a local station there in DeLonga, the WDGR. I checked into it, and it was $50 a week for a 30-minute program. This was in 1984. I didn't have $50 a week to do it, but God was putting it in my heart to go on that radio station. And I was praying about it, and I was praying about it. And one night, we lived in a little 12 by 60 mobile home, and my wife and her oldest daughter, she was about six, because Keisha was born in June, so Jennifer would have been six years between her two daughters. And so they had gone to bed, and I was in there in the living room, and I was down on the floor praying there next to the couch and praying about this matter, about the radio ministry, trying to get the will of God on it. And I experienced that peace that I was talking about this morning. I experienced that peace, but while I was praying, and I wasn't trying to pull verses out and claim them, but while I was praying, it just seemed like the Holy Ghost just came and began to speak peace to my heart. And then that Matthew 6:33 come through my mind. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But what I was thinking and what God spoke to my heart about was that if I would go on that radio and put God first in my life, he would take care of the broadcast. And I said, I got up from there, brother, I got up from there believing that God was going to help me. So I secured the spot, got a good Sunday morning slot. Amen. It was available, and I went on the radio, and for the first two or three, 4 months, I had to pay it all. But then every now and then, somebody began to give me a little money here and a little money there, and it didn't take but a few months until that was coming in. And I've been on the radio now since 1984, I'm on 16 stations. I'm not bragging. I'm bragging on him. I'm telling you tonight that I know that this principle, it's not just a principle that works. It is a God that's faithful to his word, and he's big enough and able enough to do whatever he wants you to do. God will supply the need. Amen. Just be sure it's the will of God. And somebody says, and I know people think this, well, if God will pay for it, why don't you double it and go on 32 stations? Because he ain't told me to do that. That's why. If I run out there on my own, brother, and tried it on my own, I'd do exactly what I was preaching against this morning. I'd leave God behind, and I'd run out here, and God say, well, you did that. You take care of it. Amen. Where God leads, he does what? God provides. Amen. He provides. I left the church 6 years ago as a pastor, and I knew my radio support would probably drop a little bit, and it did initially, just a little bit. And I was wondering at that time, I was on, I think, 11 radio stations when I left the church, and I was thinking I may have to drop a few stations in order to maintain paying for it. But you know what? I've added more. I'm on 16 stations, and to God be the glory, I have a separate radio account it's a radio account of the local church I'm a member of, so there's the responsibility and accountability to that. But that radio ministry is under the umbrella of that local church, and I've got more. You hear me? I'm bragging on God. I've got more in my radio account today than I've ever had since I've been on the radio, and I say it's all because God is able, amen, to make all grace abound toward you so that you always have an all sufficiency in all things. There may be come a time when God turns the spigot off. I understand that. There may be a time when I have to go down. But I'm just telling you, a friend, that God has proven himself faithful in our life. Trust him tonight. You can. You can. Go with me to Ephesians chapter number 3. Back to our text. I'm thankful he's able. Praise God. Look in verse 20. He's able to save. He's able to secure. He's able to supply. And I just want to say this, he's able to surpass. You say, what are you talking about? Look in the text. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly. He uses three words. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, and above. The word exceedingly means to go beyond the mark. Whatever the expectation is, he'll go beyond that. Amen. If you're trying to throw a ball 50 yards and you got to throw it at least 50 yards, but you end up and you can throw it 75, you have exceeded your expectation. And I just want you to know, a God is able to exceed. He's able to exceed abundantly. That means to have in abundance. And the word above just means what? He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, and above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. I'm not preaching a health and a wealth prosperity message like our charismatic friends out there. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm afraid sometimes we have let them steal a lot of blessings from us because we don't want to be identified with them. But I'm telling you, friend, that my God is not poor, and God is able and capable of doing more in your life and my life than we think he can. Amen. He's able to go beyond that. Spiritually, any way you shake it out, God is able to perform his promises. When God called me to preach, I was 18. You know, when I got saved, I didn't even have, when I was 17, I never had a Bible. I had a little New Testament given to me at school by the Gideons, but I did not have a Bible. I shared with the pastor, I didn't grow up in church. And I got saved in August of 74. And by the end of the year, by early December, God was dealing with my heart about preaching, and I still didn't even have a Bible. God was calling me to preach. I'd never been but to one revival. I'd never been but to one Bible school when I was about 12 years old. I'd never been to a camp meeting. I'd never been to a preacher's meeting. I'd never been to a youth meeting. I'd never been anywhere. I didn't know anything. But I'm like old Dean Bryant that's died and gone to heaven now. I know tonight, I may not know much, but I know I'm saved, and I know I've been called to preach the Word of God. Those are two things I'm sure about. And when I started preaching, the only subject I ever failed in high school was a speech class, a half-year speech class, because I was too shy and too timid to get up before the class and give about an 8 or 10 minute speech with no notes. We grew up poor and backward and didn't get out, and I was always bashful. I'm bashful by nature. I don't have much to say. I got a lot to say when I get up here, but if you're, I'm just not loud. That's the way I grew up. That's who I am. That's my personality. And so God was putting this on me to preach. I'd have never thought. I'm not saying I'm anything tonight. Don't you misunderstand me. But I'm telling you, when I started, can I say this? God let me marry a wonderful woman. She married me as a preacher. Amen. And she's been a pastor's wife. She's an evangelist's wife. She's been a godly woman. Well, God gave us two beautiful daughters, two good son-in-laws, one of them pastor. We've got 9 wonderful grandkids. There's not one area of my life that I can't praise God. Hey, every area of my life, God has superseded all of my expectations. And I want to say tonight, to Him be the glory for it. Amen. He's able to go beyond your expectations. Praise God. I love to brag on Him. I think He likes it. Praise God. Turn with me to the book of Philippians and I'll be done. Philippians chapter number 3. Let's read verse number 20 and 21. He said, "For our conversation," that's our citizenship, "is in heaven." See, I have dual citizenship. "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ," here's what I want, "who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able to do" what? "To subdue all things unto Himself." God is able to subdue. What does that mean? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. I preach a good little bit of prophecy, and this is one area that I like to deal with, but I'm just going to show you the nugget, and I'll be done here in a minute. 1 Corinthians 15. Look with me in verse number 25. This is the chapter on the resurrection. He's coming in verse 24, verse 25. "For He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for He hath put all things under His feet. But when He saith all things are put under Him, it is manifest that He is accepted which did put all things under Him. And when all things shall be subdued unto Him." You see, in Genesis chapter number 1, God told Adam to subdue the creation, subdue the earth, to subdue it. And that word subdue in the Hebrew means to tread upon. He was telling Adam to take charge and control it and subdue it. But because of Adam's sin, Adam failed in doing that. If you read Hebrews chapter number 2, the writer of Hebrews is quoting out of the book of Psalms. And in the book of Psalms, it's talking about how that the creation of God was put under the authority of man for him to rule it and to subdue it. But in Hebrews chapter number 2, the writer said we don't see yet all things subdued. In other words, because of sin, man has failed to subdue and to bring it all under subjection. But during that thousand-year kingdom age, as the first Adam failed, the last Adam is going to do what the first Adam could not do, and he's going to pull everything under his feet, and he's going to subdue it all under his feet. Amen. And rule and reign with a rod of iron, everything in subjection to him. Not one thing outside of his rule. And I know that he is sovereign and he rules over all today, but I'm talking about in a real sense, as the God-man. As God, he's always ruled. But he's coming back as the God-man, as the last Adam. And he's going to rule from the throne of David for 1,000 glorious years and bring it all under subjection. But what I want you to look, what I want you to get a hold of tonight, and what I read in Philippians, he's able to subdue all things unto himself. I want you to understand, we do not have to wait till the prophetic future for him to subdue. I'm telling you that if you've got sin in your life that you can't handle, he can. If you've got problems in your life that you can't handle, we can go back to the message this morning. Whether it is sin, whether it is sinners, whether it is Satan, whether it is storms, whether it is sorrow, whatever it is that's in your life that you say, I can't handle, he can. He's able to subdue that. Praise God. God is able. And part of that subduing is what enables you and I to be secure in Jude verse 24. Because he can subdue these things in our lives, we can live right. The drug addict, God can get a hold of that that desire. The alcoholic, God can get a hold of that in the man that gets saved. He can subdue and deliver that man from that sin. Amen. I believe that. I've seen it. I've seen it. When worldly programs doesn't work, God's able to do it. Amen. We're standing all over the house. That's the message tonight. Thank God he's able. He's able, preacher. He's able. He's able to save. He's able to secure. He's able to supply. He's able to surpass. And he's able to subdue. And you may have a need in your heart tonight of just bringing something to him and saying, Lord, I need you. I need you to get a hold of this, whatever that might be. I need you to get a hold of it. How about it? While we wait for a moment, would there be one here tonight just needs to bow on this altar? God is...